to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
Tell me I can't, and I will embarrass you.
And Dale Hummel.
In the words of Nancy P, when I hear people talk about inflation, we have to change that subject.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Halloween week, Ryan.
I know. I'm so excited. I love it.
You've been
Halloween.
Waiting for this because of our topic that we've been waiting to do.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I just love Halloween. Always have.
Well, I think there's a question in the question and answer today for you on that.
No. I mean.
Yeah, it'll be good.
But I love Halloween. And I get to see you on Wednesday. Boo. Boo.
Isn't that exciting?
Terrible.
So with Halloween coming up, and I don't have a lot of...
And also, hold on 1 second. I want to share with all the listeners that Dale and Clifton have been after me to use the stupid other thing that is not pink and purple, that they say it's so much easier and it's so wonderful and it'll make everything better, and none of it worked. It's because it's not pink and purple. That's all I have to say.
You don't believe it to be user error?
Nope. It's because it's not pink and purple.
Okay. I want to talk about something called fentanyl briefly. And we have brought this up before, and we continue to see it on the news, the volume of fentanyl coming to this country. I hope, and I hope this to be true, that it hasn't migrated down to where most of us are in the rural communities, but I fear that it has. And we have Halloween coming up. And like Ryan said, he loves Halloween. My kids absolutely enjoyed trick-or-treating probably more than any children on the planet. And I'm not saying don't go out and trick-or-treat, but just try to be smart. Please, once again, I know I've talked about this before, but I truly believe that if we can prevent anything, whether it's somebody listening or somebody you talk to, please just sit down and have that conversation about how deadly fentanyl is and how it comes in so many different pills and packages and colors. Just do it. That's my wish for going into Halloween, or wish for this episode. Have that conversation with your children, no matter what age they are. I think it's just one of those things we need to do, and we won't regret doing that by any means. With that said, Ryan, did you see that your good friend Xi Jinping has been elected for a third term?
Yeah, you were the one that told me he wasn't running last week, and I told you I would think you would be wrong.
He didn't run. I watched today on the news. They're sitting there like to confirm it or something. And it must have been...
Dale, can't you just admit that last week when I said he was currently running for re-election and you told me I was wrong, that in fact were wrong?
I had no idea what he was... I don't think they did an election.
You, master of all things newsworthy, you were wrong. That's just all there was to it. You were wrong.
You understand that there is no election there.
You were wrong.
You're aware.
I was
aware
of this. You were wrong. I was right. Just like
just like Putin or Russia doesn't have nuclear weapons, right?
I didn't say they didn't have nuclear weapons. That's not what I said. You tried to twist things.
Well, then you restate it. Go ahead. I'm giving you a chance.
You tried to twist things. I told you last week the man was up for re-election. I said he was actively campaigning. I saw him give a campaign speech and said, nope, he's not. But anyway,
yes,
I was right.
It's all fake news.
The listeners know I was right. That's all that matters.
Well, if you want to call it an election, he was elected. And he's eliminated term limits. So he surrounded himself with absolute loyalists. There was somebody that I assume was in his position years ago that would sit to the left of him in the parliament or whatever. I don't even know what you want to call it. So they're sitting down there, basically his first session as the reelected, whatever the hell he is. And this poor old gentleman, I mean, like creepy Joe old, the security comes in and escorts him out. They claim it was just a show of power on Xi Jinping's radar. I don't know, but just an indication that he has complete power in the cabinet or whatever you want to call it.
I like complete power.
Yeah, so he's surrounded himself with only he's there for life is what I'm getting at. And there is no question that he's the most ambitious leader of China in recent history. Not only does he want internal power, but he truly wants world power, and I don't know that he can't get it. I hope he can't. But at some point, he's going to challenge the U.S. And if we don't get off our ass and build military strength as a deterrent, we're going to find ourselves in a war with China at some point. And I truly believe it to be that simple. Can it be warded off? Absolutely. But I think at this point, I don't hear any politicians talking about it. I hear it on Fox News on occasion. But if they think they can beat our military, which right now one of the generals came on and was very straightforward that he doesn't know whether or not we could defend ourselves against China, pulling the nuclear options off the table from both countries. I would like to still think that we can, but I hear no politician sounding the alarm. We continue to educate the Chinese and masses. We've not acted upon China stealing all of our technology, even military technology. We allow China to purchase food processing plants and farm ground. We're reliant on them for production of pharmaceuticals and other essential products that we should be having made right here in North America to try to alleviate that dependence. We have not held them accountable for the pandemic. I at this point, cannot imagine how we can continue to act like we're business partners with them and do so much trade with them. And I understand there are essential items that we cannot produce here or haven't chose to produce for some reason that we need to continue to get that. But if you can avoid buying made in China, and you know what? I got a package in the mail today. I was on Amazon purchasing a tube feeding kit for exotic cats, and the damn thing shows up, and guess what? Made in China. It's going to happen to us, but if you can make a conscious effort, I certainly think it's worthwhile. I am the most concerned that this man truly intends to take over the world. And if he believes that we are weak enough, he will try to do so. That's where I'm at in China, Ryan. Has it changed at all in 2 years?
No, but I do want you to clarify something. So it is your opinion that the man that you said wasn't running for re-election that got re-elected is going to take over the world by simply defeating the United States? That's your thought?
No, I think he'll challenge any...
That's what you said.
No, I believe he'll eventually challenge U.S. I think he'll take over Taiwan and others first if we don't intervene in some manner. And I don't know that... And trust me, I don't want him to take over Taiwan, but I don't know that we're in a position that we can stop him.
Okay, so how is Taiwan the world?
I'm not. I'm just saying that's.
You said he was going to take over the world.
Yes, and that's where he starts. He takes over that, then he moves on to another country. I think he's bringing countries in to rely. Most of the African countries are reliant upon him because he's giving them food and different aid. He's positioning himself. He's very strategic in what he's doing, just like all the ground and the processing plants and the essential items that he's manufacturing for the U.S. They're becoming strategically in a position that the world nearly relies on them for certain things. I'm not saying we can't get around it at some point, but we've done nothing in the preparation of such. And that's what concerns me. And I would call him a dictator, not an elected official, but rather a dictator.
I'm still having a very hard time understanding where your jump from Taiwan to the world is. But anyway, we're going to move on.
Continues through India, through
we're going to move on. We're
going
to move on.
Again.
We're going to move on.
Putin.
Yeah. To your other favorite leader that is elected, not elected. But yeah.
Do you remember we talked a little bit about, and again, I'm not buying into this, but I don't even want it to happen. But those theories of cancer, another one came through today that they just released a video and they could see track marks on his hand and arm. So either he's a drug addict or receiving some type of infusion. I would assume it's some type of infusion. Does that mean he has cancer? No, and I hope he doesn't, because Putin with cancer or anything terminal puts that's we've talked about that enough. It's not a good place for him to be.
So then why'd you bring this up?
Let people be aware that he may have cancer.
Oh my.
I personally don't subscribe to it, but
I don't know what would be worse than being a crack addict or having cancer.
Oh, it's just all probably a crack addict and hope he overdoses.
I don't know. I mean, either way. I will be honest with them because, see, I, unlike you, tell the truth. And I did see on Fox News today that they did have a story about this. This is the first time that I have seen anything about him having cancer or whatever, but they did say that he had IV marks. Several places that could be seen from the camera. So that leads them to believe that he is undergoing some type of medical treatment and not just a crack addict, which, I mean, again, I don't know which is worse.
I did not hear that part on Fox News. I did insert that part.
No, it's on there. But, no, they think he's going under some kind of medical treatment. Now, I didn't hear them say cancer, but they did say some type of medical treatment. But
if he was doing that, do you think he'd be dumb enough to have a video show it?
I don't know. The man has rode like half naked horseback. So again, he's
done that. And we assume there was a purpose for it.
I mean, I don't know. Like, he's a little crazy. Well, now that we can round out the world news with the fact that the prime minister from Britain or England, whatever.
Did you not tell me that was Boris a week ago or so?
Would you wait? I'm going to tell you what happened.
Did not look like Boris today. Did not.
Because he stepped down last night. He was winning.
He was, and he's already... he wasn't. It wasn't official. He was...
No, he had the votes, and they voted today. And last night, he made a public announcement that he would not... that he was taking himself out of the running. And so, this is my belief. They didn't throw him out. They didn't ask him to resign. He resigned himself, and then when he can get back in there, and he's got all the votes... He says, nope, I'm not going to do it. He's got something really bad that he don't want to come to light.
Like Halloween closet bad?
I think you step down from being the prime minister. The one that comes in after you is a total screw up. You have the votes to go back in. And the night before they elect you, you say, you know what? I'm going to pass.
Maybe he just wants to relax.
He's got something really dirty that somebody is holding over him. Like, if you go back out there, I'm releasing this. That is my personal opinion.
I can't disagree with that. I have nothing to verify it, but it is.
Oh, I don't either. But like, it's just weird that they didn't want him to resign. He resigned. He had no real reason to resign other than like, the only thing that came out was like he didn't adhere to some of the COVID restrictions at a party or something. And so then he resigned.
Do it on that.
Right. And so then he resigns. Then they want him back. He has the votes to get back. And the night before, because they elected today, you know what? I'm just not going to do it. Yeah. I say something's up. Bad up.
I would agree. Now, when he first stepped down, I assumed he was pushed out. But this would contradict that.
Yeah, he was not pushed out, but
so while you're talking about these great leaders, sleepy, mm-hmm. creepy Joe, did you hear that he stated that he was able to get the student loan bailout passed by a couple votes?
Right. Yeah, that didn't happen.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I did not hear it, but I read a news story about it. Yes.
And what did your girlfriend say about that?
I don't know. I didn't see her.
Yeah, she comes out and tries to spin it and say, well, he was talking about the Inflation Reduction Act because clearly there was no vote. It was an executive order on the student bailout. And he was just clearly that confused. Not a big surprise to any of us or anyone listening, I don't think. But that poor man is badly confused every single day.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that. Like, and the Democrats are kind of talking about this, and I don't understand why they're bringing stuff like this up. Like, it doesn't help them. So, I mean, maybe it's just to deflect. I don't know. Like, I'm so confused at all things Democrat. Which, by the way, I voted today. I want everybody to know I voted. And again, I did not get a sticker. I'm very, very disappointed. I've never got one of those little voted stickers.
You did not get a sticker.
I've never got one. Never. Today was the first
voted
day
by
you
mail. I assume.
No, in person.
Oh, in person. Wow.
I always vote in person.
That was happening.
Early voting in Texas started today.
Maybe I could have voted today.
Early voting in Texas started today, and I was the 33rd person in line.
And I hear that early voting, there's record turnouts, even though we're supposed
to. I don't know, because Texas started today. In Georgia, there is record turnout for a midterm election.
And they say it's in the African-American community. Would you assume that maybe some are coming out to vote for Herschel, or you just that's being too optimistic?
Well, of course it's in the African-American community. They're both African-Americans. Hello. Yeah.
Maybe someone would say, well, it doesn't matter. I don't care which one's elected. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know how to take that as good or bad or any of the above, other than the fact that it simply cripples the Dems' whole suppress the vote in Georgia.
Yes, it does. Biden and Stacey Abrams, Jim Crow, suppress the vote, whatever. Yeah, that's all a bunch of bullshit. Because clearly that did not happen. But also, very sad news, which some of y'all may not know who this is, but Leslie Jordan died in a car wreck this morning. And Leslie Jordan is this, he was only 67, but he's this actor from Hollywood, short little gay man, and he played on Will and Grace, Beverly Leslie, and he's been in a lot of movies. He was really, really funny, and he really, during Rona, he made all these Instagram videos and all this stuff, and so very sad that he passed away today, but he was a funny little guy.
I cannot picture him.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't, but you can look him up.
I'm sure others can. I did notice that and it was in fourth and eighth grade, they tested some students, obviously post-Rona, and the eighth graders dropped 8 points in mathematics in 1 year. And usually if they move 2 points, that's like breaking all records. So it sounds like we're in deep shit.
Well, we're 25th in the nation on our education. So yeah, in the world, 25th in the world on like best education, because that came up the other day, and on the five, and I don't remember, it wasn't one of the regulars on the five, it was some guest, and he just said being 25th in the world on education for the amount of money that we spend is totally unacceptable, and I would agree with that, because I think we spend more on education than any other nation in the world.
I would tend to agree with that. And I would like to see more data, because I would agree we're at least 25th or probably plunging fast on our elementary, basically through high school, and even into the bachelor's degree. But we must, in terms of our graduate programs, they must be considerably higher than a lot of other countries, because it seems like we're educating the world through them.
Well, this was not advanced
education.
K through 12. Yeah. His statistics that he...
And I don't believe our bachelor's degree, I don't think we're gaining a lot there, personally. And I was in academia for 20 years, and I don't believe it was of a lot of great value from an educational standpoint. However, those elites that go into graduate programs and are doing some of that research, I think we're probably up much, much closer to the top, because everybody seems to want to come here to become educated for the most part. Anyway, do we have anything? Do you have anything else for current events? With Halloween coming up, there's got to be something spooky, spectacular.
Oh, I don't know. I'm glad that you brought up the whole fentanyl thing, which I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I mean, not going to say that people aren't going to just try to disguise fentanyl as candy, but like from all the pictures that I'd see, it definitely looks like it's a pill. So. I'm just saying, different colors, forms, sizes, but it's definitely not a Starburst. Okay, people. So
be a very, very young child not to think something's a little odd. But
right,
I think by the time you're even touching it, it may be too late.
Oh, well, maybe. But so yeah, go through your children's candy and all that other stuff. We are going to the National FFA. Well, by the time this is out, we'll be over, but we will have been at the National FFA convention, and I am judging in Eastland this weekend, and Callie is going to come to Fort Worth, and we're going to have a spooky kind of time. And the reason that we're not talking anything about the election is because Dale has finally beat me into submission, and we're going to record a Beyond the Circus later in the week, and I don't know when it will drop. We'll leave that to our trusty producer Clifton on all that. But I did the only point that I want to bring up, and we'll save most of this for the other thing, is like, I am almost convinced that the Democrats are completely like not addressing any of the issues that are important to voters, because I don't think they want to lose by like masses, but I think they want to lose enough that they can blame Biden so he can't run for president again.
That's pretty deep.
But we'll explore that further On
I think they could just run a short clip of all of his incognitive moments, and that would be enough.
I really think that they know what their message needs to be, and they're really not.
I don't know if I can buy into that one. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't know.
I will talk more.
I think there's enough other disasters that they could say sorry. Okay, let's just bail on that before we go down that hole. What about BTR JLA news?
I'm going to give the top 10 Junior Hog. Avery Layton from Bend, Oregon is number one with 485 points. Easton Zerbach of Rocheburg, Oregon, two Oregon people, in first and second. Martin Svedberg from Tucson, Arizona is third. Ava Valerie, from South Salon, Ohio is fourth. Holden Salivar from Bainville, Montana is fifth. Rhett Fortner, Richards, Missouri is sixth. Paisley Ray Oglesby of Hyco, Texas is next. Armando Robles from Porterville, California, followed by Zephyr Landall of Maysville, Kansas. And rounding out the top 10 in the Junior Hogs right now is Tatum Gengo, I don't know, of Mansfield, Texas. So congratulations to y'all right now.
When you saw that top 10, did you not think, well, maybe I should do something else because every name was difficult to pronounce?
Yeah, I didn't even look. I just...
That's a bad one.
It's terrible. And I'm horrible with names anyway. So, yeah, it's not good for me. But, you know, it will be fine. I do want to give a shout out to our regional sponsors from 2022. I am starting to contact the 2022 sponsors and ask them about 2023. I haven't gotten very far on the list. Started at the top and working their way down. But if you were a national or regional sponsor and you want to sign up again, y'all have my number. You can just text me instead of me making it down to you. But our Region 1 sponsors were Clift Livestock, ICSB NorCal, Shannon Stone, Curly Cattle Company, and Red Hill Show Goats. Our Region 2 sponsors were the Showman App, Wireman Ranch, Leonard Truck and Trailer, and RS2 Livestock. Region 3 sponsors were Kiefer Auctions, South Texas Show Series, the Scott Sedgy Family, and the Hill Family and Roof Depot. So thank you for those region sponsors for 2022, and we are looking for sponsors for 2023.
Excellent, and please feel free. Those that are the national sponsors now, I assume, have first priority to reclaim that.
Yeah, so national and regional sponsors. If y'all are interested, I will contact every single one of you. I'm just going down the list, and some of them have already agreed to be sponsors for next year, and we will share that news when we get to next year, but we appreciate all of them. Again, sign up for 2023 on www.btrjla.com, and as of today, the 2023 sanctioning form is online, and so it's on there if you want to sanction your show for 2023. There are two different forms. If you're a county or a state fair, there is one that you need to fill out and submit because it is free. If you are not a county or a state fair, there is another. You use the other form. It's $50 per species, so even if you were going to do all four species, it's $200. It's not per ring, it's per event, and so please go on there, sanction your 2023 show, especially if you're going to have a show in the winter. We need you to go on there and get those on so we can get our calendar started so all of our members will know what shows are sanctioned for next year.
Excellent. And I would like to thank ShowFresh H2O for their continued support of this podcast, allowing Ryan and myself to reach out with a conservative view and hopefully help educate some of the Stock Show families. Thank you very much, ShowFresh H2O. Main topic. Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
Very appropriate, Ryan. Very good.
Yeah, well, I thought so.
You came up with this like 6 months ago, you said.
I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew some of it. But You were there. Which
I still don't.
Wendell has no information about the Farmer's Almanac. Y'all blame him because he wanted to have that episode and he wanted to do all that, and he has done nothing but send me pictures of framed sheep all day long. That's all he's done.
I don't have a Farmer's Almanac, but I've reached out to different people and I've had conversations. So I'm going to relay some of that information. Would you like that? We can kind of bounce back and do you have anything you'd like to start with?
Well, being Halloween and all that, I thought this was a good topic, and I just thought that like it could be all kind of all inclusive. But one thing that I wanted to include in it were like some superstitions and what, you know, bad luck stuff and all that kind of stuff, and
highly appropriate.
Kind of make it more towards like stock show, because I mean there are some general and all this other stuff, but and like again, I think some of them are weird and some of them are dumb, and but they are what they are.
Okay, so. before you get to that, do you now be honest? Do you have any type of superstition that you
the only. The only one, like, I will tell you one that I don't adhere to, but my mother is a freak about. And
a freak. You're calling like, your mother a freak.
Literally. Like, she, I mean, it's scary. Something about, and the reason, like, if you spill salt, you have to throw it over your shoulder or you have bad luck. And Cherie is, like, just insane over this, which she spills everything. So, like, I don't. She should just walk around with a salt shaker and throw it over her shoulder all the time. But
now that one's been around for hundreds of years. So yeah, maybe.
So I don't adhere to it. The only thing that I don't do it anymore. But and it was more just at this one show than anything else. But the Bonanza used to be in Austin, Texas, most of the years that. Or actually all the years that I showed, it was there, but it was there for the large majority. And to get out to the fairgrounds, that you used to have to go over a railroad track. And I'll never forget that one of the fitters or whatever said that if you touched a screw and lifted your feet up while going over the railroad track and made a wish, it would come true. So every the only week of the year, every time we went over that railroad track, I would do that. But that's kind of the only one that I've ever done. And to be honest, my track record wasn't real great at the Bonanza, so it didn't work. So, but anyway,
I tried to stop and think about if there's any superstition or Farmer's Almanac type. I could be wrong and just missing something. But I can't say that I've ever adhered to any of those, and I can't explain why, other than the logic process in my mind.
And I mean, I did, like, there was a person in college that we hung around a whole lot, and like if a black cat came, like they would literally stop in the middle of the road and almost get us killed and do a U-turn and all kinds of stuff like that. And I know lots of people that believe in the black cat thing. Again, I didn't. My father was a rodeo cowboy, and I guess he was decent at it because he got close to the national finals a couple of times. But anyway, he may even made it one year. I don't know. But there's something about laying your hat on the bed that is god awful bad luck. Now, I don't know if that's just a cowboy hat or that's a ball cap too. I do not know. But
all I can come up with is what I saw in Yellowstone, that somebody in the bunkhouse put their hat on the bunk and the whole group just went crazy.
Yeah.
And so cannot I do that. I know nothing more.
I don't know about ball cap, but no, my real dad, he was like that. That was numero uno. And then
do that.
And you couldn't eat peanuts on show day, which I'm not a real big fan of peanuts anyway. And so I don't, but I didn't understand peanuts on show day. And I know a lot of people that don't believe in wearing yellow. The yellow's bad luck, which I don't know where this comes from, because
it doesn't look good on them.
No, that people think it's no, because I wear yellow a lot. And even when I showed, they're like, can't believe you're wearing yellow on show day. That's terrible luck. I'm like, I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about, but and maybe I'm wrong and you can correct me, but isn't yellow like the color that like when the troops come home, wasn't there something about tying a yellow ribbon around a tree for the troops to come home?
I think that was a song.
But I'm no, not.
I don't remember anything. I'm not saying it's not. I just am unaware.
Anyway, I don't understand why people don't like yellow. I personally like yellow. So you have no superstitions. Your children have no superstitions.
Y'all just
freeball it and live whatever. It is.
Now, I would say if somebody were to mention one of those to Katie, she would stop and put some thought or credence into it. Chase
would go to his phone and Google all the reasons on why this does not matter.
I mean, nothing. He would fight to the death on opposing it by quite a bit. So I have to say, and again, I'm not saying that some of these things aren't true that I'm going to talk about. If there's no explanation for it, I tend to rule it out. And that's not maybe a good thing. But the Farmer's Almanac, and there's two things that come to mind that I've talked to many people about and have heard for the greater part of my life, and that is using the sign of the moon to either castrate livestock and or wean livestock. And I could get this wrong, but it's usually closer to the full moon than not. And again, if I'm wrong, please, when we put this post up for this episode, please, I'd love for you to fill out the comments and educate us on these things. But I take it as it's a certain sign of the moon, and they have a lot of zodiac signs to call about. I'm not going that deep with it. I'm going to say as close to the full moon as you can get is what I take it as. And again, I could be wrong, but far less bleeding during castration, consequently more success and healing. And on the weaning process, eliminates a lot of the stress and the bawling from both the mother and the calf. And Ryan, there's cattle producers out there on the weaning side and swine producers on the castration side that I've talked to that are very, very much going to follow the sign of the moon to do those particular practices. And I would consider these very intelligent people that have been doing this for a long time. I still would tell you, I can remember working on a hog farm and I castrated pigs every single day. I could not have told you that, yeah, this group did better than this group because it was a full moon. I didn't notice anything like that. And I can't give you any scientific explanation for such, but I promise you there's people out there listening that fully believe in this. And again, maybe there doesn't need to be a scientific explanation. Maybe we just don't understand it. Maybe it's something to do with the gravitational pull of the moon, or I don't know. Maybe there's something there that I'm unaware of. So I'm not ruling it out, but it's hard for me to wrap my head around when I can't come up with one logical explanation on why this benefits castrating or weaning at these times.
Well,
about those?
No, I've heard way more than that. When you told me there was no information about this and that yet this was your topic that you came up with, I was just like, whatever. But like weaning times, castration, surgery, I even sent you a link on when the best time to slaughter livestock is. I have always heard way more even than the weaning and castration, because this would go within me and my love for the show ponies of it all in the livestock show and you in the commercial idiot nonsense that you love. I have always heard people down clipping or slick shearing their animals for hair growth, depending on when the Farmer's Almanac told you.
Well, do people not? Doesn't everybody do that in the spring when they're already losing their hair coat? That's what I assume. But does that maybe coincide with the almanac?
You can go to the almanac. I sent you this today too. And it's even for like children and adults or whatever. It will tell you the best days to cut hair hair growth.
Total bullshit.
But when you weren't doing your job and being, you know, responsible to your listeners because you were too busy picking out pictures of frame sheep to send me today.
What'd you think of those?
Basically, the vast majority of everything in the Farmer's Almanac or the information that I could come up with, it's literally all has to do with what phase the moon is in, how close to a full, like it's all about the moon.
And do you do everything when it's closer to the full moon, or some things are the opposite?
So both. And so again, I find it very hard to believe any of that.
This brings back this brings back something that I can't say I believed in, but I allowed. How's that? Is that to get us close? Have you ever heard of douse for water? Like if you're trying to dig a well on a farm or a home or something like that, you'd heard it, maybe witching for water.
No.
You've never heard of this?
No.
Dousing or witching for water?
No.
Total blank.
Yeah, no.
Okay, they used to take two
breaks. We have like regular water where it comes out of a spout or a water hose.
Yes, but you have to dig a well to get that.
Yeah, we have wells.
I know you turn on the water spigot and you get water, but it has to come from somewhere. Okay, so with that, do you know what a willow tree is?
No. Well, wait, a willow tree? Yeah, like the type of tree.
Okay.
Yeah. That like it the low. Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Long, narrow leaves, branches, usually by water.
Looks creepy. Like so always would, in the
yes, Halloween looking.
Yep. Halloween. Absolutely.
Looking. Okay, so the witcher or the person dousing for water, or it could be other resources, gold, minerals. I don't know. I'm only familiar with the water part. Okay, and people do this here when they're going to dig a well. It's expensive to drill down to try to hit water. And you want to pick the right spot. And I think it's a total crapshoot on picking the right spot. And at the place I live now, we're on the only hill in the entire, within 100 miles of ourselves in Illinois. And they decide to dig a well on the top of the hill, which seems very counterproductive to me, thinking the water table is at a certain level, lower to closer to sea level. But anyway, so at the last house we were at, and at this one, we had some issues with the well at the last house. We ended up not replacing it. But before we dug a well, this was just a bean field when we purchased it before we built our home and built some barns and so forth. So we went to dig a well, and several people said, well, you have to get a witcher out there. And they used to do it with two willow branches. They would hold them very loosely, and I'm probably going to describe this wrong, very loosely in their hands and walk across a property. And when those two willow branches would cross at the tips and kind of point downward towards the ground, that's where you drill because that's where the water was. Now they use metal rods with a little bend in them, a 90 degree angle. Same thing though. They hold them loosely and they will cross over as you're going across the water spot. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Not really. But
no, it makes zero sense to me, but there were people out here doing it and we only dug one well and it did work, but I'm still not subscribing to the theory, but I bet there's listeners out there that could explain more about this, or I'm going to say a large portion of our listeners have experienced something like this. And I'm going to go back to, I think it's crazy.
Sounds interesting. I mean, I don't know, but very, very weird for me. I'm just
isn't it hard for you to believe that something like that in today's modernized world would still be used?
Yeah, I guess my thing is like depending whether it's you know the almanac or superstitions or whatever. Like everybody's got to believe in something, and if they believe in it and they think it works, then good for them. Like. Would you throw logic into the equation? I think that's where it gets a little.
I don't know how somebody can function without using logic as the basis for everything.
I'm not saying you're wrong, sir. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying I understand that, like, there are other people out there that find that differently. But so
Chase did point out two things that are, I guess, wives' tales or. They're not probably almanac. Maybe it's in the almanac. I've never read the Farmer's Almanac.
I've never even seen a Farmer's Almanac.
I don't. I'm sure. Maybe I have a woolly bear caterpillar. You ever heard of those?
No, I have.
Do you have caterpillars in Texas?
Well, we have butterflies, so we have to have caterpillars.
Assumably, but maybe the caterpillars were north and the butterflies flew south.
Maybe. Okay.
So woolly bear caterpillar, if there's more black on them than normal, than orange, I guess, you're going to have a long winter. Or what about the groundhog, the little Groundhog Day thing? So when he sees the shadow, there's six more weeks of winter, no shadow, spring comes. What do you think of that?
I don't know. We don't
just have say that's bullshit.
We don't have winter in Texas. So if we mean... Other than that one freeze 2 years ago, like, we don't have winter in Texas, so I don't know. I mean, we have, like, summer, and not summer, and then that's it. I mean, but...
And occasionally a winter ice storm.
One in 20 years.
I can remember Fort Worth having two or three very slick roads, slick icy days.
Oh, I mean, we've had Fort Worth, no, but I mean, but like that deal 2 years ago is about the only really bad thing that I can remember weather-wise. I mean, yeah, we've had ice, we've had snow, we've had slick roads, whatever, but like that like took people out. Like my parents just moved back into their house last week, but, or this week. Oh, that's according to Cherie.
Speaking of Cherie, did you ever get told when you're sitting too close to television that's going to make you go blind?
No. I think she would have been fine with it.
I agree. That was fairly common here. I don't, and obviously.
Now, what does there any?
No, but it used to be, all parents used to tell children, don't sit too close to television. It's going to cause eye problems. It's going to have you go blind. Nothing. Yeah. There's no relevance to it that I'm aware of. What about cracking your knuckles and causing arthritis?
I crack mine all the time and I don't have it yet, but you know, I'm very youthful as well. So
you see, I tell my children that all the time. And not because I believe it, but because the cracking of the knuckles really wears on me.
It's you just don't like the sound.
Exactly. So we try. I try to reach out for something, and that's all I can reach out to. And again, I don't know if it does or doesn't. But just think, I don't know what's happening when you crack your knuckle, but I'm assuming it's popping that in or out of the joint a little bit.
I would well,
and I would think that's causing extra wear on that joint, and consequently, maybe it's not. I don't know how it's good.
It probably is not good. I don't know if it causes arthritis, but it's probably definitely so not nobody, positive.
So when you're cracking your knuckles as a child or now your mother, she just ignores it?
Yeah, she doesn't. No. My mother didn't care as long as I didn't die, basically. As long like she knew not to argue too much. And so as long as I didn't die, then she was okay.
She's good with it.
Yeah. I mean
I love it.
I think that's what like was her whole point. I can get him to 18 and he didn't die. Then I did my job. So, I mean.
I have one that your mother probably used on you. I would bet almost anything that this happened for various reasons. So that you should dab whiskey on a baby's gums to help with teething pain.
My mother just gave me Benadryl every night till I was like 6. Because I wouldn't shut up and that was the only way to knock me out. So.
This dabbing whiskey has been, I mean, in the early 20th century, people would swear by this and very unorthodox teething method, but it was very popular then, and it seems to have passed down from generation to generation, and there's still parenting suggestions to do that, and the, I guess in some medical journal write-up somewhere, they say there is absolutely nothing to it, and that few drops of alcohol can actually be very toxic to an infant. So I guess they're saying this is no good.
Well, they also said that you can't smoke while you're pregnant and all this other stuff. And these people did for centuries and decades, and everybody was perfectly fine. Now it's whatever. But I do want to tell a funny story.
I wonder about that smoking. I just don't think anybody documented that there were issues. I'm not saying there were or there weren't, but I don't know that we know.
That millions and millions of people were born to live healthy adult lives, and their mothers smoked the whole time they were in the womb, and it was perfect. I mean,
you see, I'm a huge fan of this fetal programming and epigenetics, and I think anything that you do, even your thought process or cortisol levels, I think all of those things have some impact on the fetus.
I'm not saying it doesn't have some impact, but this is my point. If anyone in this day and age saw a pregnant woman smoking, they would probably want her arrested. Agreed?
Not everybody, but the majority of the people.
The large majority would have a very huge problem with it. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you not, you cannot not, I mean, I know I am right that for decades and decades and decades, women smoked nonstop. Pregnant, non-pregnant, all this other stuff. And all of those children pretty much grew up to be healthy adults or we wouldn't still be in procreation, Dale.
So back when you were not born, when Cherie was pregnant, smoking then was almost still accepted, I guess you'd say. And my mother, yeah, when she was carrying me. Did Cherie smoke when...
No, it skips the... No, my mother cannot stand smoke because I am a firm believer that smoking skips a generation. My grandmother smoked like a chimney on Christmas Eve. Like, when I mean, like, would she was the person that would put one out and light another one up. So my mother hated smoking, so she did not smoke.
Yeah, and I can see logic in that.
I think smoking is one of those things that skips it. Like, if it's in excess, and, like, most people, like, if you smoke, you smoke. It's not like, oh, I'm going to have a cigarette one day this week. You know, no. But and so I have always said, and I've paid attention, like, I do think smoking is one of those things that a lot of times it skips a generation because the ones that have grown up with it hate it so much that they don't do it. But then their children aren't exposed to it. So they don't, you know, the bad parts of it.
I think there's a lot to that, Ryan. That I think that you're absolutely... Absolutely. My parents smoked until I was probably, I'm going to say 7 or 8, 9, and I despised it.
Yeah.
It really bothered me. But I think you're onto something there. No question.
I think in drinking, I see a lot of that too. But in drinking, I mean, like, if you have a member of your family or members that are like a diehard alcoholic, I'm not talking about like just drink, then I think you're less prone, that kid is less prone to drink at all. Like, but that's just an observation. But we're getting off topic here. But
yeah, we're good at that. This topic, this title allowed it.
Right. One thing that, like, again, on the hocus pocus of it all and like stock shows, it's a couple of myths that I don't know. I'm interested to see your opinion. So I think that most people believe that it is, or I think it's harder to win under the same judge twice with the same animal. What are your thoughts?
Same judge twice.
Animal, same kid, all that stuff. You've never heard that? You don't think? I've heard that a lot, that, well, we can't go show there because he's judging our county fair and it's always harder to win the second time around.
Well, here's where that's after they've already won.
No.
I got it. The only reason I wouldn't go to a jackpot show prior to somebody judging my county fair is if there's flaws in that animal, the more times they see him are more likely to recognize those.
That's what I say too. I said, that gives me two opportunities to find the holes in your animal, but I don't know if there's a myth or urban legend about it, but
if showmanship is prior to the show and the priority is to win the show over showmanship, and some people have it the opposite, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if your priority is not showmanship, I think you're better off not exposing the animal that you think you're going to get along the best with to that judge if it's the same judge. So I'm a huge proponent of a different judge for showmanship than the actual show at the larger shows. For that exact same reason. Let's not give them opportunity to pick apart those flaws.
Okay.
But if I have a really good one, if I'm out there judging and I find a good one at a jackpot show and I use it and I really like that one, I think they're more likely to win under me the next time if it's a similar quality show. Because why wouldn't they? I've already confessed that this is my kind.
Right. Yeah. No, I see that.
Have you used the same animal very often?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've used the same one before.
I can think of a couple times, but not a lot.
I mean,
and like, not because I was unwilling. It just the animals didn't show up.
Yeah. Do you buy into anything on, like, I know there's a bunch of people that think that you have to like be the first one in or the last one in. Do you buy into any of that?
I do believe that there's advantages and disadvantages depending on that judge and depending on the rhythm that they're in. Sometimes you will notice they're pulling more from the beginning, or maybe they're very critical and they have high expectations and they all of a sudden get down towards the bottom and say, oh shit, I got to pull more in as they're walking in. I think there's some algorithm that you could place on that individual judge at that show that maybe you're better off at the beginning or the end, Or maybe everybody thinks he's pulling from the beginning, so all the good ones crowd up and try to go in early. So I do not. Is there a standard across the board, across judges? Absolutely not. Is there maybe better for you to be at the beginning or the end for a specific judge? Possibly. I would not put a lot of weight into it. How's that?
No, I don't either. And again, a lot of people I know is like, oh, you have to be at the front or you have to be at the back or all this other stuff. I have noticed, and I'll just be honest with you, this is not for any other show other than Texas Majors, because they're the only shows that like go on for 2 or 3 days at a time or whatever. I have noticed sometimes that a judge will kind of get in a routine. And so if you are at the front, maybe they pull more from the back. And I'm not saying that the one that's gets pulled first is the one that wins every class, but like they can consistently pull more from the end, or they consistently take more off the top stuff. Like I see patterns like that sometimes emerge, not all the time, but sometimes emerge. But I don't think it's a superstition or a, you know, wives' tale or anything like that. I just think that sometimes judges get into a routine and set a pattern, and that's how things like that happen.
And I think as soon as the exhibitors realize maybe it's happening a little bit, guess what? They all migrate. Those good ones migrate up there, and it becomes a pattern.
Yes. Yeah.
I do believe with those larger shows, now that I think about it, either the first one in and the very last one in, if you've got a good one, I think the judge is probably in a situation where you're going to get a longer look. Does that make sense? Maybe uh-huh. only a couple seconds, but you just do, because you don't have one in front of it or you don't have one behind it. So you have the opportunity to study that one a little bit longer.
There you go. Another one, and this isn't just livestock related, but so do you believe in the black eyed peas and cabbage nonsense on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? Excuse me.
I wish I could answer that one, but I don't know anything about it.
You don't know anything about that?
Absolutely. I don't like cabbage. Maybe that's...
Oh, my God. Well, I can't. I don't do either one, but most people believe that you have to eat black-eyed peas and cabbage on New Year's Day, and the black-eyed peas are for luck and the cabbage is for money.
I would say it's a German thing.
I just can't stand either one of them, so I'll just have to be unlucky and broke because I can't.
Does a black-eyed pea taste like a regular green pea?
Black-eyed pea tastes like disgusting mush. Well, it's
some
literally
people would say that about. Do you like regular peas?
No.
Oh, so maybe but it doesn't taste a lot different.
It just tastes like paste.
Got it.
Yeah.
There is a. I remember. I don't know where it came from. And again, not livestock related. But if there's a coin or a penny on the ground, if it's heads up, pick it up. If it's tails up, don't. Bad luck. And I have to say, when I've seen a coin on the ground, that has entered my mind. It did not stop me either way, but it did enter my mind. Does that count?
I don't know. John Ben, my first stepfather, he always was a big deal on picking the pennies up, heads up. That was the only thing that I can remember him ever being superstitious about. But like, I never look at the ground. Like, you don't.
Well, I can assure you that my daughter, my youngest daughter, does not look at the ground, even when she's driving.
I mean, I just don't look at the ground. How do you not? You're not supposed to be looking at the ground when you're driving. You're supposed to be looking at the road.
Did I tell you that my window's been down on my car for 3 days?
Okay, but she should have not ran over the skunk. But she should have been watching the road, not the ground. There's a difference.
The skunk was in the road. No, the skunk did not run out in front of her.
No, I know it was dead in the road. I am agreeing with you that she should have been watching the road and seen the skunk and not ran over it again.
I mean, it's like she aimed for the skunk in my car and I'm in the passenger seat and you could hear it. It exploded underneath my car. It was very bad. Very, very bad. Yeah. No, and there's maybe some superstition about skunks too. And I don't recall what it is.
I don't know anything.
Bathtub with tomato juice to get it off you. I'd give my whole car a tomato juice bath if I could at this point.
Ew, that'd be nasty.
Very, very bad. Well, I'm running out of...
Well, hold on. Yeah. hold on. So, and again, we're not like singling anybody out, but like another.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to because I refuse.
You have somebody in mind.
No, I don't. But I think that a lot talking about Hocus Pocus and old wives' tales and all that. I want to ask you to share one kind of old wives' tale, though. But on the things about a lot of people, like you were, most people are either like Fugate and feed every supplement in the world, or other people are like,
I was trying to avoid the supplements.
We're not going to talk about anyone in particular, but I'm just saying, I think that's the thing. Some people think they're hocus pocus, or some people believe in them. And that's just,
yes.
I mean, I think that's just how it is. But
I think the rule of thumb, the more they claim they can do, this one is great for ruminants, non-ruminants. It's going to do everything in the world and make it a great one, the less likely they can do those things. How's that?
I would agree with you that that there's not one supplement that fixes everything. Because if there is, there would only be one supplement and we would all feed it. And all of our animals would be perfect. But
it would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And so, but we haven't talked a whole lot about old wives' tales or anything like that. Or myths and all this other stuff. But my mother tells this story, and maybe you don't know this story, and I don't know it well enough, and I should have asked you before we came on here. But
just have at it.
Sorry. But there was a steer that won Denver that Big Mac that turned a different color, right?
Yes.
He was a Charolais, and they dyed him black or something or whatever.
This is correct.
This is not actually a myth or an urban legend. This is a real thing. But I have told this story to people before. And like I said, I don't pay enough attention to all the details and everything. And they all just think that I'm like rattling off a campfire story. But that's why I wanted to save this for the end. Because this is a myth and an urban legend, but it really did happen. It is a true story.
So you're saying people think it's an urban legend.
Right. Yeah. Happen. They don't. Yeah. Every time I've heard this story brought up. Yeah, every time that I have brought this story up, or it has been brought up, other than when my mother and people her age that I guess were very active at the time or whatever, or they're all like, yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit. We don't believe that. But anyway.
No, and maybe when we heard the story, somebody was making that up to us.
But Sheree swears it happened. Like.
Do you ever believe
photo that? Evidence? She doesn't. I think Sheree doesn't live in reality. I don't think that she out and out just lies to make up shit, especially when it doesn't benefit her. And this story does not benefit her in any way. So you know.
So maybe we should tell people about this. So you have a calf that wins Denver as a black calf, and this would have been in 1972. The grand champion
Jesus
steer.
Jesus Christ!
Of the what?
You even know the damn year, so you know it all.
I just Googled it. I cheated.
Oh, well, then it can't be fake if it's on Google.
This was the New York Times. Now, we don't.
Well, there you go. It's right.
Believes everything that's on the internet or that he finds. So in 72, the grand champion steer, the animal himself is real. Big Mac, winner of two major prizes in the stock show in January, certified as an Angus steer raised in Iowa and shown in Denver the first time. After the show, I assumed, I don't know,
Wasn't it bought by McDonald's?
Yeah, that's why I believe. Okay. I don't see that on here.
Okay, see, Sheree tells the story that the steer's name wasn't Big Mac, but when McDonald's bought it, they named it Big Mac, and they put it on display. And it got whiter and whiter, or less black and less black and less black, or whatever. But, yep.
Yeah, so he was a Charolais steer. Actually, name was Jeep. Jeep was raised, and he was supposed to be an Angus steer out of Iowa. He's actually a Charolais steer named Jeep, raised in Colorado, been shown at numerous other shows. He was bought by McDonald's for $11.40 a pound. They give some names in here that we're not going to throw out there, but he did change colors on them.
Yeah.
But no, that, and you know what? That is, I've heard that many times, and I believed it. But you know what? That could have been an urban legend. I could have fell into it, but it appears to be real. There's pictures of him online, actually.
Cherie said there were pictures. So again, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, that was the only
What was the purpose of that?
I don't know, because I know how difficult it is to like dye like a spot on an animal from like white to black, like or whatever. I can't even imagine a whole cow. And so especially in 1972, they didn't have the advanced dye things that we have now. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Were you only allowed to show Angus maybe then at that time? I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't. I don't know the purpose.
They deserve that banner, though, because that was a lot of work. So much work.
I'm not going to go that far, but I'm going to say that if they could pass a white one off, dyed, and just think that I'm sure the dye wasn't even as good then.
No, that's what I'm saying. Can you imagine how mediocre they had to work with? Like, yeah. That's why I say they deserve the banner.
In the article, it doesn't even look like the dye washed out. It said he started to grow white roots.
Oh, my.
So that was a pretty good dye job.
Jesus.
Pretty good. No, that could have been an urban legend that would have sucked me right in, but it appears to be real.
Yeah, well, I've heard this story multiple times, and other than when I'm around people my mother's age or whatever, they all like, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. I'm like, okay. They don't believe it. I was like, whatever, fine.
The only thing that'd be better if it would have been yours.
Right, thanks.
Uh-huh. Yep, that you showed a Angus deer that was a Charolais, and yeah, all the white roots came out, all those things. Right.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, well, you're welcome. Is it time?
Well, before we get into your favorite part of the thing, question answer, I do want to give a shout out to our Region 4 sponsors, Maple Show Cattle, Leonard Truck and Trailer, the Showman app, and Leonard Truck and Trailer again. Region 5 was Stock Show Therapies, Izzy Pat at Home, Putney Show Pigs, Homestead Feed and Supply, and Region 6 was Leonard Truck and Trailer, Getting It Done Show Stock, Leonard Truck and Trailer, and Interstate Showdown Series. So thank you to all of our region sponsors in 2022.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. With the spirit of the Halloween season, we are going to continue with question and answer.
Oh, yay.
And Ryan, before I forget, I am excited that here in a couple days, and again, it'll be over by the time we get there, that you and I have the opportunity to put on the coaches clinic at the National FFA convention for those coaches of each state winning team that's competing there. And it's going to be you know what we're going to do that day, what it's all about, right?
Have no idea.
All it is, we totally wide open. It's just a question and answer day.
I thought there was something else that hadn't told me about. I was like, oh, great.
Mm-hmm. No, we used to put on a PowerPoint presentation and talk about different trends, but why not let the ag teachers just ask whatever they want? I think that's a way better idea.
I'm Much very excited.
Better. Okay, in the spirit of Halloween, this question comes from Adam, I believe. I didn't write it down, but I kind of remember this one. In the spirit of Halloween, did Ryan go trick-or-treating when he was growing up? If so, what did he dress as? Now, be careful with the dress thing if it's not appropriate.
I would say till I was about 10, I probably had a costume. I don't know. One year I was an Eminem. I don't know. I never really got to pick my costume. Cherie just had somebody make one. But I went trick-or-treating until I was about 10. But in Crockett, or at least, if Halloween, they would make the trick-or-treating a Friday night, like where everybody would go on, and I was always at a show. But now what we would do after 10 or whatever is we used to go wrap houses, and for people that don't know what wrapping houses is you would, my mother loved to do this. This was her favorite thing. So she would pile us all.
Your mother did this with you.
She drove. She loved it. She absolutely loved it. So anyway, she would pile us all in the Suburban, a bunch of kids with like 500 rolls of toilet paper, and we would go like wrap the trees in toilet paper on Halloween. That's what we did every Halloween, is what we went and wrapped houses. And so that was always fun. And like, because I was the leader of the expedition. And so I didn't want to like aim for kids or people I knew. Like, I wanted to go for people that like made me angry, like school teachers and principals and stuff like that. So yeah. I had big goals. I was very good at it too. Like, so. Very good. That very was kind good. Of our deal. Now, when I got to college, we dressed up more. And yeah, we're not going to go over all the things.
No, let's just leave that one alone.
That I was in college or have dressed up since. But
be a terrible, terrible image. Terrible.
And I've spent many a New Orleans, Halloween in New Orleans before. And that, but yeah, so I personally love Halloween. I don't have to dress up because I'm scary enough as it is. So, but I do love Halloween. And again, what didn't trick or treat a lot, but did dress up most years, especially as a little kid. But on Halloween, we were degenerates and went and toilet papered people's houses.
Well, I would have to say that I enjoyed Halloween as well. I spent a lot of Halloweens in San Francisco. Cow Palace judging contest was about that time, and they'd have a huge street party. And it was very eye-opening in San Francisco for Halloween. Very eye-opening. My children probably, I would say all four of my children, that's one of their favorite holidays for some reason. They truly, truly enjoy Halloween, and I hope this tradition can continue to carry on forever and ever. When I was a younger child in the greater city of Cabri, population 200, Ryan, for some reason, and I'm gonna go on the record, I did not partake in this, okay? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, all of the high school age or children, school age children, if it wasn't concreted down, padlocked down, anything that was in anybody's yard or anywhere around town would make it to the middle of the main street, and it would be a barricade of wagons and bird feeder or bird waterers or anything, tires, anything. And they would barricade that street off well enough that the school bus couldn't get through and they'd have to detour around for some reason. Now, why they did it, I'm not real sure, but it was a pretty, pretty big annual event there to drag everything in town out to the main street. And I'm curious if this ever happens in other communities like that.
I've never heard of that, but that sounds like fun.
I mean, some of the people that didn't live in the town and were unaware of it, I can remember one car coming to town at a fairly high rate of speed, and it just about got very ugly.
See, you suck all the fun out of everything with bad stories.
sorry. It was very interesting. I don't know where that tradition started or how it happened, but it was definitely something every year as a child that would happen there in Cabri. Okay, the next one comes from Tammy. Dear Dale and Ryan, our local fair has a beef carcass contest. Ryan, they should have left your name off this one. Beef carcass contest. Mm-hmm. You're already in a bad place, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the beef get harvested at the plant within a week, but some of the beef that go for resale get put into the feedlot and held over for more than a month. Do you feel that we are still comparing apples to apples when there is a 45-day difference in kill dates? Is this a disadvantage for the beef that got held in the feedlot for 45 days?
I don't know and I don't care.
Come on. You do know. It's a disadvantage if they were already too fat to begin with, but it's an advantage if they weren't quite to low choice quality grade or they didn't have.
Okay, can I just rechange my answer? I just don't care. I just don't care.
You can't compare. They all need to be slaughtered right then, because that 45 days, that exhibitor, I don't even know is still feeding it. That's crazy.
I will say that they have that if there's going to be a contest, then all the animals need to be slaughtered within the same at least 48 hours.
Yeah,
but again, I don't care.
Quickly, as close to you.
Can I add that I don't care?
You can add that you do not care, but no, I think that's insane. I understand maybe that it's a small plant. I don't know for what reasons.
45 days, though? That's a long time.
Yeah. So if they are spread out that much, Tammy, there just isn't a lot of relevance in the competition. That's where I'm going to take this one. And if you would like to have your extension agent call Ryan, he can explain it to him.
No, because I will explain that they need to get rid of the contest altogether. Just
Ryan. Did you know that beef animals and the animals that we show as market livestock, their purpose in the world is to produce meat.
Their purpose is to look pretty and win banners. Next.
Oh, my. Sarah, this one's definitely for you. I'm going to leave it alone. Do you think posture attitude and presence affects your impression? And if so, how do you advise and explain what that looks like and how to do it? Please don't mention that I'm specifically thinking my defensive and defiant daughter who thinks I know not up. I don't think I'm supposed to read that part.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. I think posture she just said posture affects presence, right? That's what
posture, attitude, and presence affects your impression.
Oh yeah. I mean, posture affects your impression and your presence. First off, attitude affects your presence. Yeah. All of that. It all is a deal. And again, I just say what's right and true as, or I believe it to be true. There are people in this world that just naturally have more presence, more, you know, than other people, but it isn't impossible to learn or get better at it. And so, I think the easiest thing to do if you're trying to teach about presence or the correct posture in terms of showing an animal, I think the easiest thing to do is go up there and sit with your kid and here is XYZ and they've won 900 million showmanships. And again, I don't think any kid can ever replicate a person's complete style, presence, attitude, etc. But you can pick up things and try to emulate them in ways. And if you don't naturally have it, that's the easiest way that I have been able to help kids gain in those areas.
And then the great ones just have it.
Right. Yeah. And again, I mean, people aren't going to like to hear that because some people have it and some people don't, but that's just facts. Like, that just is what it is. But you can get better at it. You can learn and you can watch and you can replicate things and do better at it. But yeah, all of those things are important and all of those things do affect your opinion, your impression, all of those things. But I think that not posture so much, I think attitude and presence are the two hardest things to teach to a showman. Because I think it goes back to what Dell and I both agree on, is that most of it, it's in that individual or it's not. Not that it can't be taught, not that it can't be learned, not that it can't be improved on, but it's very, I think of all the things that go into showing an animal, those two things, attitude and presence, are the hardest to learn if you don't naturally have it.
Agreed completely. And I'm afraid I already hung this poor mother out to dry by accident, so I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay.
Enough said. With that, Ryan, once this episode drops, I think we're approximately 10 days from midterm for those that don't have early voting and so forth. So many of the states will be voting.
I voted.
In approximately
10. I didn't get a sticker. Yes. I voted.
No, but even if you don't get a sticker, Ryan, how important is it for every one of our listeners?
I would like a
anybody
sticker.
They can get there. No, I would Ryan, like a talk sticker. Talk about the listeners voting.
I would like a sticker, but I do think it is very, very important to vote. And again, I don't care what party you are.
No, because if they're listening, we're good. If they're listening to this podcast, we're fine.
Even if you're a Democrat and you're listening,
no,
and you
don't
hate
say
us,
things. Don't do not.
I think
say
it's very
like
important
to
vote. And
I disagree. Don't you? If you're liberal, do not vote. Do not do it.
I'm also going to say that even though bitching and moaning and complaining can't fix things, you have no leg to stand on to do any of that for the next 2 years if you don't vote. But I do think that to balance the power that, and I mean, again, just look at the last 2 years and it's been terrible, but to counter effect that, we really do need even person that has ever thought about being a Republican to go out and vote. Don't look at the polls because momentum is swinging their way. Do not second guess it. Go and vote. Exercise your God-given right to vote.
And please take any conservative you can find with you. Give them a push. Encourage them. All those things. With that said, happy Halloween and be safe until next week.
Happy Halloween! Y'all come back now, you hear?